My name's Clint Holly. I'm the Concrete Cowboy. Welcome to the Lodge Room. Today, we have Howard Missenmacher, singer-songwriter from the Cleveland area, who's been on the music scene here in Cleveland for, I'm going to guess, 20 years plus. Is that accurate? We don't want to give too much away on ages here, do we? But Howard stopped in. He played us a few songs, and songs that spanned a good part of his writing career, and we're always interested in talking to songwriters here and their inspiration and where the craft and the art of songwriting comes from. So thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, Clint.
And it's always good to have people playing here in the room. Like you mentioned, it's a great spot for music. And,
absolutely.
We're finally realizing the potential of the room by bringing people in here and talking to them. Let's go back, I guess, to the beginning. I guess that's always the first question, like where, when, and why did you start writing songs, and kind of what was your motivation to get into the craft of writing songs?
You know, I grew up loving music. My parents had a deep record collection. They weren't musicians, but right. They loved music. So, you know, I definitely grew up with music. So I was just, it was a natural progression to just start writing.
Well, my daddy drives a truck, and don't you know, at times he's out all night. He's got 300 miles of coal road at him, and he'll finally see the light. He calls up my ma every day, wanna tell her everything's okay. How state troopers got a mountain man away with a warning, he was on his way. And he's riding in a state 90. He's got the needle in the red. Well, he's riding in a state 90. He's gonna be at home tonight and in his own bed. Well, he's riding in a state 90. He's gone again. Well, my daddy hauls steel all over town and throughout the state. He knows all the back roads and them breaks. He take a load that's overweight. He went on down and loaded up on and took off on his way. 10 tons of steel on the highway, gonna make it to Sandusky Bay. Well, he's riding in a state 90. Got the needle in the red. Well, he's riding in a state 90. He's gonna be at home tonight and in his own bed. Well, he's riding in a state 90. When I was young and a little bit green, I'd ride up in his cab, and I'd get paid $5 a day just for riding with my dad. We'd go down to the foundry and the salt mine and the Ford engine stamping plant. Well, I spent many years of my childhood at the window of his cab. Mr. Riding in the state 90, he's got the needle in the red. Well, he's riding in the state 90, he's gonna be at home tonight and in his own bed. Well, he's riding state 90, he's gone again.
when was that like as a teenager? Did you start writing songs, or was it later than that? Or
no,
earlier,
I started writing songs in my early-ish 20s.
Okay, mm-hmm. Did you have a band at that point? Or
yeah.
Yeah, was that Al's Fast Freight, or was that prior
Freight? It was, I was playing in a band called Lazy Lightning,
okay.
Which was a Grateful Dead cover band with, okay. with Jack Silverman
okay.
from the Janglers, and then he moved on down to Nashville to become the scene editor down there.
Okay.
I wrote, so we were doing this Grateful Dead thing, and I wrote 3 or 4 songs, and we brought them into the fold.
Oh, cool. And that was, so you got good response from the songs? Is that why you kept doing it? Or
yeah.
Was it just something that...
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So people were like, well, this isn't the Mickey Hart drums part. You actually wrote a song. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
So then you progressed. Obviously, the first time I ever caught up with you was during the Al's Fast Freight years. Mm-hmm. When did you put that band together?
That would have been 92.
Okay. And so in terms of, for people that aren't as familiar with the, I guess, what we call the alt-country scene or whatever, I mean, you were a little bit ahead of the curve putting that band together when really alt-country didn't become popular until, what, maybe like the mid-late 90s?
Yes.
And so you were doing this thing, 92. What was your, what's the best way to say it? What were your expectations for that band? And then was the response from people here in the Cleveland area what you kind of expected, that they would get into that kind of music or
the
not?
The response was interesting. it came from the heart,
right.
You know, there, as you said, there wasn't a lot of people doing it back then, you know,
right.
Us, I think Hillbilly Idol was just starting to kick it back then too.
Right.
And, some of my friends were, they kind of almost thought it was actual country music.
Right.
but it wasn't.
Right. Well, your influence, I think you filter a lot of different things. Obviously, you're a Springsteen fan.
Yeah.
I hear a little bit of Steve Earle and what you do and stuff like that. So you're melding like some of the more classic ideas with like some of the more contemporary people.
Yes, absolutely. And Steve Earle probably had more to do with it than anything. My future wife at the time, who I just started dating, I think we were in the Dandelion People, a local band before Al's Fast Freight, and after the band broke up, we started dating.
Right. Well, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. She turned me on to Steve Earle.
Right.
She was like, "I think you're gonna love this," and I fell over backwards.
What was the first Steve Earle record you heard?
Copperhead Road.
Copperhead Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was like,
"Good one.
You have to hear this."
Yeah.
You know? it really changed my life pretty much.
My tires, they spin on the asphalt. My thoughts, they spin in my head. Tonight, I swear I see a sign from up above in every green light ahead. Well, I've been down this road 100 times, staring at the thin white line. Tonight it feels just like a tightrope walk, connecting her heart to mine. And tonight I'll be on that highway that leads to heaven on earth. 'Cause I got a ring in my off my tail. And tonight I'll let you pass. I'm gonna pull to the red, 'cause I've been lonely, well, all of my life. There ain't nothing gonna stop me tonight, 'cause tonight
Now, some of the songs I've heard you sing over the years too, but there was one in particular I heard just with, I think in the last couple of years, there was one about the train wreck, I think, that was out on the West Side. Like you've done some historical stuff, and you did like some serious research for that particular song, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about that particular song.
It happened out in Ashtabula.
Okay, because that song's epic.
Epic, yeah. It's about 11 minutes. I've been told it's about, 8 minutes too long.
Right, the guys at the open mics are like ready to punch you when you like bust that one out.
Yeah, I don't play that one too often, but I do have probably 15,000 hits on YouTube on it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a real nice video for it.
What's the title? Well, tell us the title of the
Wreck of the Pacific Express.
Okay. Yeah, and give us a little background.
It was the second worst train wreck in American history.
Really?
Yeah. Happened in Ashtabula. It was, just pretty much almost everybody perished in it.
Right.
It was an engineering disaster,
Was it a mechanical failure of the train?
Of the bridge.
Of the bridge?
Of the bridge itself. Yeah,
out in Ashtabula?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what sparked your interest in that? Like, is it something you read about? Or
yeah, it's something that I had heard about forever, but not too much. And then, I just delved into it and then just got obsessed by it. And just
11 minutes later?
Yeah, 11 right? minutes later. So the song is chronological. It's dates, places, times, events as that happen.
Right. Well, it tells the story.
Yeah.
And as we know, the kind of music that we like a lot of it tells stories.
Yeah, yeah. And there's millions of backstories also. I mean, I've flirted with the idea of, maybe putting out a whole release of other people's stories involved in that train wreck, because I mean, some famous people died in it.
Oh, really?
It led to unionization of the railroads. It led to just tons and tons of stuff.
So there was repercussions that one particular
absolutely.
Accident.
Yeah.
Well, you could do a concept album, I guess, based all around it.
And the site is haunted.
Really? Have you been to the site?
Yeah. Anne Marie and I spent 2 days at the site, and it's haunted.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there any remnants of the bridge still there? Or
that bridge itself is gone.
Yeah.
But people to this day still go there to search for items, and they find them.
Really?
Yeah.
Like metal detectors?
Metal detectors, and they diggers, dig stuff up all the time.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Now, do you have any plans to write any more epics like that in the near future? Or was that...
It could happen. You never know when it strikes you,
Was it something you did kind of like as an experiment to see, like, I think I can tell this story? Or was it something that you just like you said, you just became kind of obsessed with it?
I became obsessed with it. I mean, yes, I felt I could tell the story, but then it was just, at one point, it was just kind of like channeling the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever attempted to write anything, a song about that in the past?
That I know of.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it, some sort of folklore at some point.
Right. Well, a lot of tragedies obviously have songs associated with the Titanic, a lot of songs about that,
right.
And Wreck of the Old 97, we all know that one, so... that's pretty interesting. I never had really, I never knew about it until you busted it out. And I think it was at one of the 10x3s.
It was,
one of Brent Kirby's things. Mm-hmm. And that one always just kind of stuck with me.
If I had me $1 billion, if I had last month's rent, if I had one single solitary, that ain't been spent, If I had any sense at all, I'd say it in 3/4 time. So you'd waltz on out of my life. I need a word that rhymes with idiot, but I ain't found one yet. But I got some chords. Whoa, they sound like this. If I knew just how to love you, and if I didn't always lie, if I had a good excuse or two, or even try, if I had any sense at all,
with the Springsteen band.
Yeah, Springsteen Tribute
Band. So he's a big
band.
Influence on you, too.
Swamps of Jersey.
But you also play with your wife.
Yes.
Anna?
Annie McSwiggin. Okay. Anne Marie Missenmacher.
And you guys, on that project, you are a little more folky kind of, I don't know, what's the best description for that?
Well, we do several things together. We play as just the Missenmachers, which is just the two of us.
Right.
And, you know, we do a lot of our original music in there. We play with... Take This Hammer,
right,
which is folk based,
right. You know, I think that's the project I was thinking of.
Yeah,
more,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. You came out and recorded us once.
I did
down at on the West Side Market,
right.
Mm-hmm. So you know that we do, you know, folk music from the 1860s through to current stuff,
right.
You know, throw some originals in with that, and Anne Marie is a great guitarist in her own. She's the second guitarist in the Swamps of Jersey.
Really?
Yeah. And she's recently become quite the jazz guitar player, too.
All right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Plus, you can sit around at home and jam together, too.
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
That's got to be fun, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's made gigging out very easy because most of our gigs are with each other.
Right.
So, you know, I don't have to say, I'm leaving for the gig.
Right.
You know, we look at each other and we say,
when are you going to be home?
Let's,
right.
Let's go. Let's go to the gig.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the guitar playing, and I noticed that your songs, you don't just typically use the typical, you know, first position chords, and you move around the fretboard a lot, and you have I noticed your little sawn-off capo there that does, like, was that the first four strings that
yeah,
that
covers? Yeah, it's the middle three.
Oh, it's the middle three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, shortcut.
So how do you think that kind of, as you said, with her becoming a better guitar player, does that make you look at songwriting in a different way by having a different vocabulary of things that you can play on the guitar? Does it make you approach like writing songs any differently?
Absolutely, because when you have different voicings, it brings out different aspects of the song.
Right.
You know, different phrasing, you hear your melodies different, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not just your typical, you know, boom chuck kind of thing.
Where, right. Not that there's, I mean, I have a ton of songs that are, you know, G, C, and D.
Right.
But, you know, when you use some open tunings, you know, some aids like that, you know, it it lends a different air to it.
Well, I always noticed, and this was always drove me crazy when I was younger and like trying to learn like Bob Dylan songs, and I had no idea that like most of his early stuff, none of that is in like standard tuning.
Right. No.
And it's all in like, and you have to nowadays you look on the internet and there's like a page devoted to the tunings of Bob Dylan, and like you can look up every single song.
Right.
And it used to always frustrate me. Like I'd try and learn a song like It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're playing along and you're like, this doesn't just like not sound quite the right. Same.
Yeah. So, or like Blood on the Tracks is all in some weird E tuning.
He used open tunings, drop tunings and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, but then he seemed to kind of get away from that later on. But I always wondered how that kind of like led to his, you know, vocabulary that he used to write songs and how people use the guitar as a tool. I'm sure piano players even, do you use a piano? Do you play piano at all?
I don't really play. I mean, I could bash out some chords, you know, on a street level, you know.
But you wouldn't, you don't use it as a songwriting tool?
I personally don't, no. Right. No.
Well, Howard, thanks for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The door is always open. And, you know, take this hammer with you next time, or however you want to do it.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.